What's up, humans? Welcome to the Human Music Podcast. I'm Luke Rain. My co-hosts are Tesco and Rip Kenny, and we are all music producers, artists, and producer coaches. This show is where we discuss all things music production and interview amazing creatives about their origins, their process, and whatever else comes up. This week is episode 131, Porch on Making the Music That You Want to Hear. Porch is a producer, DJ, reggae bass player in the band Ayaterra, and a producer dojo alumnus. We get into the new gear he's picked up lately, using modular synths in his workflow, remembering not to buy too many plugins or pieces of new gear at once, his favorite underrated Ableton stock effects, his favorite plugins, expanding his musical influences, starting his reggae band Ayaterra through a Craigslist post in college, why he's all about playing with feel over virtuosity, being your own audience and making the music that you want to hear, the origins of his name, and much, much more. You can find Porch online at porchbass.com. The song of the week is Porch, Not a Competition. You can find the links to that down below. And you can support our sponsors while you're down there, like Porch and my sample pack called the Spice It Up Percussion and Foley Pack. We put together over 2,000 loops and one-shots of percussion and Foley sounds that were recorded in Porch's studio, and it has 50 rack instruments for Ableton and Reason as well. Dojo TV, you can hop on in the chat with us while we're doing this live stream podcast, and you can get a whole bunch of other free classes from the Dojo Senseis. You can get classes from Tesco on his Patreon and get educational content, project files, access to his Discord, track feedback, private lessons, and more. The weekly download where you can learn from Ill Gates and his private weekly group lessons and get access to over 300 more episodes in the archive for just $20 a month. And guest practices where you can learn from Seth Drake at the Approach Institute. Porch mentioned this one in the episode, so you can check that out too. And check us out at thehumanmusicpodcast.com if you need anything else from us. Let's get on into the episode.
Hello, people of Earth. This is Tesco with Rip Kenny and Trap Jesus, and you're listening to the Human Music Podcast. Woo!
Human Music Podcast. I like it.
But what's up, Dojo TV chat? Hey, we got Porch in the building.
Yo, yo.
What's up, humans?
Yo, yo, what's up, fellow humans?
Thanks for coming on, man.
Yes.
Man,
I'm glad we made it work.
Yeah, dude, we've been talking about this for a good minute, and super happy to get you on the podcast, man. You're the homie. We go back years.
We go way back.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we had met through the dojo online and the chats and such, and then this guy, just out of the goodness of his heart, I let him know I was coming to LA, and at the last minute, my place to stay fell through, and he's like, "Yo, man, come crash in my studio."
That was so fun.
It was such fun week.
Dude, and I've been using a lot of those samples from that pack we made actually lately, like the percussion ones. They're really nice.
Yeah, dude.
Like the bongo ones, I was listening and I was like, what pack is this bongo sample like pattern from? And I was like, oh, this is Luke playing. I was like, shit.
Yeah, man. We took the time to basically sample everything in Porch's studio, like top to bottom. We took all the percussion instruments, we took all the shakers, the bongos, and then we're like,
I have this basket right here.
Oh yeah,
of that's little enough. Fun things. You remember this one right here? This guy sounded all really good.
Oh yeah, spice it up pack. Yeah,
yes, yeah, spice it up.
Yeah, yeah, super dope, man.
That was fun.
Yeah, I put out the tune. I put out the little like demo song for it called Spice It Up. And it's actually one of my more popular songs. I was just like, oh yeah, man, I'll put a little demo track out on Spotify so people can hear how cool the samples sound. And like a lot of my homies are like, yo, that's one of my favorite songs of yours. It's like, oh shit, really?
Dude, you literally with the dojo, I don't know if you saw the post that Producer Dojo Instagram made today, and it was about like simplicity and how nobody's gonna be like, oh, that song, you didn't put in a lot of time to make that great song. You know, that song's so simple, but it's so good. You know, it's kind of one of those. It's just like this fat sub, just like a good rhythm and just all these different sounds. You know?
Yeah, man. And it's just like, you know, like 80% of that song is literally just like layered loops from the pack. You know, they sound so good. I don't really have to do that much to them. And just like threw on the bass line and a kick and a snare.
Yeah. We should make another pack. I really want to make a pack out of my, I got a Make Noise, an Okos Make Noise.
Oh, yeah.
What's that? Can't see this guy. It's a little modular synth doodad here. And I got this actually for Christmas per Dylan. It's called an Empress Zoya. And it's like a modular pedal.
Trippy.
If that makes sense. So you could use it as like a guitar pedal, but you can add modules to every little thing. Have you ever heard of it, Edmund or Tesco?
No. I'm absolutely absolutely fascinated.
So I sent this tune to Dylan.
Monetarily.
But like I made this. No, it's only $500 pedal. And so is the Okos. And I made some basses and sent this song to Dylan to maybe do a collab. And he didn't listen to it for a long time. And like he actually just listened to it a few weeks ago. And he's like, dude, this is sick. And he did some processing on the basses. And I was like, whoa, what did you do? And he's like, oh, I ran it through this analog saturator, you know, this pedal. You should definitely check it out. And I got it. And it's crazy, dude. You could basically, it's called Empress. Like Empress, like Zoya, S or Z O I A. So you could basically, all these little squares can constitute a module. So, like, you basically set audio in here, audio out here, and all these other colors could represent anything from saturation to a sequencer to.
So, is it kind of like a shaper box or a looperator in the sense where you have like the sequencer and then you can have a bunch of effects and you just map them on like time wise?
Yeah, I guess so, but it just sounds so good. It's like an analog piece of gear. Like, it, like, even the saturation just sounds so good.
Is this
like,
stereo?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, it's stereo in and out.
And so it has
and it's got micro SD card for like loading more patches if you want to save a bunch of patches. And it comes with a micro SD and regular card.
Damn, bro, you need an affiliate link because I'm looking at it right now. I'm like,
I feel some sexy, money burning a hole in my pocket.
I'm really against buying new gear lately, but like if Dylan really if you really recommend anything, if I get one thing for myself for Christmas this year, he's like, you have to.
Oh, thank God. It's sold out. Whew.
Sweetwater has it. Sweetwater has it.
No, it's sold out.
Wait, is it?
On the website.
For Tesco's sake.
I'm not even going to check the other ones.
So it has all of these modules in it. Are all of them literally analog circuitry for each one, and they're just like you can switch between them?
Yes, it's got 80 modules. 80 different modules, and then 64 presets. Like it comes with 60, but you could save more.
Jesus,
that's wild, bro.
It just sounds so good. Like you know when you like use like. I don't know, you have modular gear behind you, Evan. Like when you first run anything through like the Moog and it's just like you don't have to process it. It's just like, wow, I just clipped it right and it just sounds so good.
Literally, you just clip it in the hardware and it's like, oh right. Like that's literally done. Like
I don't need OTT. I don't need
No, you need nothing. You
know, nothing.
And the sub, like if you happen to get a patch that like has the sub roughly correct on volume, like use it. It is much thicker and bigger. Like it's ridiculous. There's just some stuff that like I don't like you just end up making from that ecosphere that you just would never ever make in Serum or whatever. So it's fun.
It sounds so warm too. There's just like a certain magic to it that I didn't understand a couple of years back when people would talk about it.
Yeah.
But like it's just like, man, it's way different. It just like, I don't know how to describe it besides magic.
Yeah, it does have some special sauce. Let's be honest though. It's not a magic bullet. Like sometimes the shit is like real hard.
Could be a rabbit hole.
It's a rabbit hole. Sometimes you spend like 3-4 hours and you're like, fuck, actually none of this shit is usable. It's really hard to get like exactly like in tone stuff like all the time. And like if you're writing a song in a specific key and then all of a sudden you're trying to like get certain things sequenced in all the right notes, it's real hard. So like you gotta understand what it is and isn't good at, but mm-hmm. like you really can.
The only way I've been able to do that, like making mud pies is really great, obviously, and getting happy accidents. The only way I've been able to do what you're talking about is really just to like run the MIDI through it.
Yeah.
And then they just get a great, like start with a good tone and then just get a good riff going. Just riff something really great. And then, yeah, obviously checkerboarding stuff in there. But like,
yeah.
You know, even like, I don't know to say like, EEPROM, you guys know EEPROM, like EEPROM, yeah.
mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
There's this song that I just heard that I've been spinning lately called, Iron Sharpens Iron. You guys heard that tune?
No, I don't think
I've such a that. Simple riff. It's like, mm-hmm. wah, 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 something like that. And then, you know, it's got like a turnaround for the last two bars is like the destroy, but it's just like, I'm sure they just riffed that and ran it through a bunch of modular stuff, you know, and it's yeah. like three notes with a pitch, right? The right pitch bend on the MIDI. Cause you can draw and pitch modulation and be running that through your analog, right? You know, if you're sending an external out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is one thing I haven't really screwed around too much with Ableton's CV tools to expand. Yeah.
You know, who's really good with those is Moonsplata. He's always trying to show me. Yeah. And I'm just like, he's really good with that.
Shouts to Jack.
Shouts to him.
The homie.
How long ago did you get into the modular world?
Dude, Jack's been trying to get me into it for a minute. I'm actually going to spend New Year's with him and Lauren up in New Year's. We're going to see Ott.
That's what's up.
He's playing in Portland on the 31st. And I think he's playing in Seattle on the 1st.
Ooh,
if you want to go see him. Because, yeah, he doesn't play ever in the U.S., but... I probably got modular gear like just in the last, like I got this piece, the Okos Make Noise last year, and then I just got this Zoya. So, and then I just got a push too, because I know I needed that. And now I'm done buying gear, but I don't know. I'm kind of scared to get more stuff because, yeah, Jack. Well, actually, so this is really what happened is Moonsplata Jack, he moved to Hawaii for the last few years with Lauren. She's a planetary doctorate, she's a genius, his wife. And they moved out there to be with telescopes and no light pollution. And he let me have all of his modular gear. Like he left so much stuff because he couldn't take it. You know, he let me, I had a big Korg Triton here. I had a big gear, his huge Euro rack right here, his turntables, all of his vinyls, so much stuff. So, and his Volcas. Yeah. So I got to mess around with that and I'm like, I need something. I had to give it back to him. So it's like, yeah. I need to get some. Then the Okos, like for anybody listening, like, and wants to just get one thing that I think will sound good without having to get a bunch of other stuff. Like I've just been using that and I haven't gotten anything else and I've been able to do so much with it. And I hear people say that about it. So check it out.
You spelled out.
Make Noise makes it, and then O-Coast, and that's like I'll get only like $450 or $500 piece of gear, I think. For what it is, it's insane. It sounds amazing.
How has your like workflow been affected as you've like dive deeper down the rabbit hole? Do you find yourself making different kinds of shit now, or do you find like you're kind of looking I don't want to say looking at music differently, but like, do you feel like your direction has like changed and what you prioritize while you're going through the process?
Kind of. I feel like I'm appreciating different music. Like, you know, once you get out of like Serum world and like I made an effort to not use Serum for like a bit. And then just like I was using Operator a lot on Vital. And like, I feel like when I use those things, for some reason, I don't riff as much. Like, I feel like now when I have this, I want to riff more on my push. And then once I find a sick riff, it's so fun to tweak it with this. Like, you can actually get all these things and like, you can make a fill happen with the filter or whatever, you know, like, I don't know. You're just, I'm playing more, I think. And that's why I don't want to get a ton of gear. Cause then I feel like I'm just going to get lost. You know,
like
right now,
knowing what you have and how to use it and why to use it, I think is more important than having more. Like, I mean,
I can just look around my studio right now at the pieces of gear that I have and haven't used in a while. Oh, that one. Oh shit, that one. I don't think I've ever used that. I was also like kind of similar to how Moonsplatta left you some stuff. Your friend Gus, the homie Gus, was getting rid of some pieces and gifted me some stuff a few months back, and I just like haven't been in a space to like set it up and learn it yet. This winter I'm planning on breaking into these tools one by one. Like, I'm sure they sound great, but I have not touched them yet.
Just, and that goes for plugins too, I think, for anybody who's maybe like maybe newer and like wondering whether you need to get a ton of plugins. Just learn how to use one at a time really good and use all the Ableton stuff really well.
Yeah.
Because like, it's actually pretty good, like fairly good for what it is. And the CPU it takes is like minimal.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I had a homie a while back, a few years ago. I was like, yo, it's Black Friday. I'm thinking, should I buy the entire like Waves Gold bundle with, you know, 1500 plugins?
Like,
please, for the love of God, don't do that to yourself.
Dude, okay, by the
way, I just, don't like most Waves plugins. That's just certain things that I'll fuck with, but
dude, I'm straight up fucking like absolutely boycotting Waves at this point. I just got a new computer and I wanted to install all of the shit that I've already bought and motherfucking paid for. And these assholes won't let me use, like, I'm fine using the versions that I already had. But like, you can't install a version on an operating system that's like older than
this. Wait, like, and they're making you pay to upgrade?
Yeah, I had to pay.
No,
hundreds of dollars.
That's the dirtiest thing I've ever heard
for shit that I already paid for, just to get it to work on my new computer. And it's shit that's like, I literally would have said nuke it all. I don't fucking care. Except there's old projects that I needed to get into like that week. That literally, if Waves opens up and it's like, you ain't got licenses for this shit. You fucking crashed Ableton when it was doing that. And I was literally like,
so you couldn't even open projects.
No, I couldn't even open it and delete the Waves shit out. It was completely
broken. That's the worst thing.
It literally had me by the balls. And I was like, dude, this is the greasiest fucking shit of all time.
That is so bad.
I'm hearing you go through that. Like, I had a very, very similar experience. So it's like, man, I totally feel you on that. I had to bend over and take that one too. And if it wasn't for fucking Arvox, I'd be done with Waves, man.
Bro, this shit's not even that good.
Dude, like, I haven't used Arvox. I gotta get on
Arvox. If somebody knows anything else so I can move on from this phase of my life, once and for all,
what's Arvox? Sorry, I'm not.
Arvox is probably the best vocal compressor, and I abuse it on like a lot of shit. It's really useful in a lot of different cases, but it's a really nice vocal compressor that's like pretty transparent to a degree for how much gain reduction you can get out of it, and it's just really nice.
I'll look at it and try not to buy it.
Don't buy it.
Yeah. And if you find something that probably is already similar, you gotta let me know.
If you
it's only $29 bucks.
If you bought any Waves bundle,
it's
before,
a good $29. That's literally the only thing keeping me around. That's all I'm gonna say on it.
I got the CLA-2A. I use that fairly often. That's like one of the only Waves things. Also, like Brower Motion is kind of fun. It's like a multi auto pan. That thing's pretty cool. But like, if you got auto pan, you know, it's like it has a regular auto pan, and then it's also got one where you can like it like gets louder and quieter, so it feels like it's going in a circle. It's pretty neat, but it's like I didn't have it, I'd be fucking fine.
Yeah.
I can just do a volume automation with a with a pan automation. That'd be just fine.
Real quick, so Porch, you were talking about VSTs earlier. I'm curious, what is your you're in Ableton, right?
Yeah.
So what's your underrated Ableton stock VST or Max for Live, whatever? Something that's standard with Ableton that not a lot of people use. And then what's a go-to third party plugin you're using?
Ooh, I feel like there's a lot of underrated Ableton stuff. something I think, okay, maybe most underrated thing, Envelope Follower, maybe, though that's Max mm-hmm. for Live, but that's a really cool way to get your sub to maybe follow something, or any two things to follow an envelope of each other and dial it in. Also, Shifter. I feel like that's really underused, like as a ring, like just it could do a lot, especially in brightening hi-hats up and stuff. And I don't know, like you can get hi-hats to sound really nice with just Shifter. And like probably go to VST. I feel like I could use Ableton Stock Everything and probably get it. There's probably two plugins, I would have to say two, that I couldn't live without. And I could probably make something sound really good with everything Ableton. One being Soothe.
Of course.
We all know and love. Woo! And number two, I think, is super underrated. I don't know if a lot of people know about it right now. And I love it so much. But Newfangled Elevate Limiter. Have you guys seen that?
I do have that. Dude, honestly.
Honestly, beast. It's like puts the L2 to shame, I think. Like, really.
Wow.
Interesting.
Like, and I never thought I'd say that, but now putting an L2 on and then putting that on is just night and day as far as like transparency, but also being able to like, it's got a transient knob amongst other things. It's got a soft clipper in it if you want to use that or not, but it's got 20 different bands to where I don't even usually mess with that. You could like affect the transient response of all these different bands, but just even using the transient knob, like maybe say you had to crank your gain up to 3 or 4 on this mix, and you lost a little bit of transient, you just go to maybe 51 or 52 and it comes right back. It's just, it's insane.
Dude, yeah. I picked up the Elevate mastering, like basically I got it just for the mastering thing, but it comes with all the other like units inside it, like split out as well. And I got it like right in the middle of like finishing the album, like mastering it. And
of course
I ended up realizing that if I was going to go and like, I realized that I couldn't change my master chain because I had already released singles with a separate one, and I needed everything to sound the same. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to fuck with that. But the ability to like bring transients back after like hard limiting in that thing, I was like, okay, fuck. Because my normal master chain has two limiters, like, you know, and so I put the multi-band transient shaper after the first limiter, and I was like, oh god damn it, that just works so good.
It's crazy, dude. You could literally you could pretty much not lose any transient. I feel like, I mean, if you're pushing everything loud enough before and you're not like cranking it up ridiculous, like,
yeah, plus you can boost just like the punch of the kick and the thwap of the snare and not fuck with the hisses and clicky stuff of a vocal.
Yep.
I
don't know any limiter that could even like come close to that.
Yeah. I'll use that on the master, and then are you familiar with Spiff? It's by the same people that Soothe.
Spiff is great. I don't use it as much, but yeah, it's like Soothe for transients, kind of, I would say.
Yeah, it's you can reduce or enhance transients in kind of a more like smooth, like it's the same UI as Soothe, right? So it's not like Elevate where it's like specific bands you're boosting, so you can kind of make broad sweeps. But using that on like hi-hats or like honestly like pianos and shit like that, like it works real good. But
yeah, I should use that more.
I gotta ask, is Spiff as big of a game changer as Soothe?
No.
Do you think it's necessary? Like, I'm considering getting it
for vocals. I use it,
but I'm like, I don't know. Like, couldn't you just kind of do the same shit? Just like limit the fucking little.
I mean, it's like anything. Like, you could build a thing with Ableton Stock plugins to do the exact same thing, but it's just way simpler and easier. For me, it is a really useful tool in the toolkit. Is it like a necessity? No. Has it helped me fix problems that I've had quicker and easier? Yeah. Like, would I buy it again? Probably.
Would you buy it full price, or would you wait till it goes on sale?
No, I'll buy it on sale.
Okay. That's all I need to know.
Ooksound does a Easter spring sale every year, so just wait till then.
Ooksound?
ook sound.
That's gotta be how you say it.
Yeah. We should all go in a circle and say how we pronounce it.
O-X sound.
Ook sound.
I say O-O-E-K sound.
I say O-E-K-S-O-U-N-D.
Yo.
Perfect.
So we had those.
And by the way, I want to say I listened to Evan, your album today on the way to work, and it's so good, man. Your music is so good, man. Amen. Like you're got this crazy style. Everybody go listen to Rip Kenny.
Evan invented music.
It's crazy. No, it's really crazy. It's this nostalgia that like you get. Like I feel like I'm listening to like pop punk or metal, but it's like it's just it's crazy, dude.
I appreciate that, man. I do. I really do.
You really have a unique sound.
It's fucking years and years went into just that album. And yeah, I'm really happy to have it out in the world. I've been fucking creative.
And all your music, dude. All your music. Like, we really should make a song soon. We had it. I'm going to go back and listen to our collab. We have a collab. I'm going to go back. I don't think I really understood your style when you sent that to me. We had these guitars and stuff. Like,
yeah.
And you have a lot of like just everything's so compressed so nicely with like what like white noise on everything. Like I'm gonna just go through and listen to your sound again, and then I'm gonna go through and dig into that because I don't think I was ready for it when you sent it.
We should definitely make honestly, I don't think I had really because that was like years ago. That was like two years ago.
Yeah,
like I don't even think I had really dialed into what I was doing as well as I have it now at that point. So it's perfect timing.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, and you're paving your own way, so it takes a bit to understand kind of what you're doing.
Amen. Yeah. I mean like I wanted to say the fucking EP you released not too long ago is fucking fire.
Oh, thanks, dude. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and I actually learned so much about mixing and mastering with that cuz you guys know the approach?
Yeah.
You guys know the approach. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I finished that I got to go, you know, Clint, you guys know Clint Moody?
Yeah. Not he's like, but I know who he is.
Formerly Seth's second or like assistant, but like they still worked a ton together. And so I got to go stay with him for 2 weeks in Nashville and like kind of work on that with him and Seth mixing and mastering it. So as I finished the approach, I got to like do my album, like the approach. And it was just like ingrained in my brain, like this thing that's like a new way to make music from this. I don't know. It just changed the way I see music and sound and everything. You know, Seth and Clint are just like wizards. So that was like such a special experience, you know.
I'm curious, like outside of like mixing and I don't want to say outside of the production stuff, but more so kind of like on the writing side and like the artistic side, what's been inspiring you lately in terms of like the music you're trying to create and the direction you're trying to push in?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Especially lately, I think, and I don't even know if my new EP is so as reflective of that, but maybe in parts of it, but I've really been trying to just get outside of like, cause we all love bass music and we all go to like American festivals and stuff. And, I'm in a reggae band for anybody that doesn't know, I'm in a reggae band called Aya Terra.
Woo!
So we play reggae and we're going, we're going in different directions as sound and we're trying to push the envelope that way. And I'm just like, I need to do that with this music. And so I've been trying to just listen to different musics from around the world, like, and infuse different world music. Like, I'll send you guys a song later, and I'm really stoked about it. And I'm actually so stoked about it. Like, I had my friend Glenn, he's an amazing trumpet player, play trumpet on it, and it's like a samba vibe, and it's got bass, and it's got a world vibe, and a UK vibe, and it's all of the things. And I was like so excited. I was like, Skrillex, I think you'd like this. And I tagged him on Instagram on my story and he liked it. He read it and liked it.
Oh shit.
Dude, I was fucking fanboying so hard. I reposted that. I was like, that's incredible. My God.
Ah!
Yeah, wow. So it was really exciting.
Well, you're officially the coolest person here, so that's
No. It was just some Instagram shit, but
I mean that like as silly as that is. it's still really fucking cool.
Like, and okay, so Skrillex is a goat, and obviously I look at, like Dylan says, if you want to be great, study greatness. Yeah. Skrillex doesn't make my favorite music per se. Like, I love some of his old stuff, obviously, but what makes Skrillex great? What makes Aoki great? What makes these big DJs great? Like, they cater to everybody so well. Yeah. At the same time, like, they know how to give everybody a little bit of what they want at, like, the right moment. And, like, I think the world's gonna ask for I think the world's needing that in, like, music. Like, you know, like, so everybody is wants this, like, this blend of, like, live and electronic, right? Because it's more palatable over time, yeah. You know, than just like constant, just like, wah, 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 wah. Like, so I think finding like that perfect balance, I don't know if that perfect balance exists, but like in my mind, it's like, what is like that perfect blend over time that just makes something so listenable? And for me, like, it's like the Widdler, but there's something, you know, but yeah. Like even something more like, I got to push that idea more, I think. So that's like, I've been exploring that lately. Just trying to listen to all different world music. And like, I listen to a lot of UK rap. I don't know why. I just love
UK. The scene over there is crazy, man.
Yeah.
Bro, the first time I discovered Skepta, I like...
yeah.
Like, he's the gateway drug into UK shit, right? I must have listened to Konnichiwa, that album, like fucking... 1,000 times. It's just the flows and like
the flows are just so good. I'm just like, you're hooks. Not even on from this planet.
Yeah, dude.
From compared to everything else, like
just the hooks are so like earwormy and like, yeah, it's
earwormy. Yeah. That's a perfect.
Yeah, perfect. They just get stuck in your head and you'll just end up finding yourself saying them while you're like cooking food or something. And you're just like,
it's a song I've heard a million times. Yeah. And it's like, I haven't listened. It's just, yeah, it's just so good, dude. What, like one song, have you ever heard, probably like if I could give one song example is my favorite. Have you ever heard Rules of the Dance remix by Khan?
No.
You know who Khan, are you familiar with Khan?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's like a really cool UK DJ and Mungo's Hi-Fi. Do you guys know Mungo's Hi-Fi? They're like also inspired this whole like perfect balance thing in the last few months. They came through LA and they're these producers from France and they're like reggae, but like dub, but like do deep dub too. And so it was a song they did and Khan remixed it. Check out Mungo's Hi-Fi because they're like so insane. Like with what they're doing, like they're, you could think you're listening to a reggae song and then just like it goes in a totally different direction.
Lit.
Yeah.
And the thing about their mixes too is like they're like their bass is always like 3 dB higher than every other bass you listen to. It's just like, I don't know why, but it's just how they roll.
I want to ask you more deeply about the reggae influence. And how you got into that whole side of things. Because it seems like it's a pretty big part of your life.
Yeah, actually, normally we start off every interview with like asking your superhero origin story. And we skip that for 30 minutes today. It. So like, let's roll those two.
What is this superhero origin story?
How did you become the awesome creative you are today? Like what were your early, you know, steps and journey towards becoming... you know, this version of you, like what got you into music? What got you into playing bass? What got you into production?
I have to give that, well, I guess entry into music to my mom and my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Roland. My mom is really cool. She listens to a bunch of good rock music and would always take us to go see, she loves Aerosmith. So like growing up, I got to go see like Aerosmith opened for Cheap Trick, Sick. Kiss, Kid Rock, like Ozzy Osbourne, Rob Zombie, just so many cool bands, you know. So getting to watch that like as a young kid, and then like I was like, I really want a guitar when I was like 10, maybe 9 or 10. And then I won a guitar at a car wash raffle. I was like there with my dad. I was like, I really want a guitar. And I won a guitar. And then my parents ended up, they got me a guitar for Christmas that year, but then I had won one before. So I ended up with an acoustic and an electric. And then I started playing handbells that year in my school too, which is like, you guys know what handbells are?
Mm-hmm. The big like circular hand.
Yeah, bells. And so that was really fun. And I did that for like 8 years actually, until I graduated high school. And yeah, I don't know. I love music ever since that. And it's always just been, a safe place for me and, place where I can always, just go and feel safe. Yeah. I don't know. You know, when the world's going to shit or everything else, it's always been there, you know,
100% feel that.
And that's why I love that song I sent you. There's a line in there and it says, "Music's my life, trust, believe me. Music's my wife, she's never gonna leave me."
Hey,
that's the bar.
Yeah.
I had a bar back in the day that I hadn't thought of in forever. I said, yeah, I got a chick, but she more like a mistress. Music is my missus.
Exactly.
You got unlimited bars. I know that for a fact.
So I was hooked from that point on. And then, you know, I went to college and then when I was 15 or 16, I started listening to Sublime and I was like really hooked on Sublime.
Amen.
I had Sublime a full on Sublime phase for
How could you not love Sublime? And I've become to more appreciate them even more now, because if you go and listen to them now, a lot of their songs are like old Studio One rhythms. Like they were paying compared to even what, in my opinion, a lot of American reggae bands today, like Sublime was doing it really well. Like they were paying tribute to like the past masters really well. Like,
amen.
And then there's a whole reggae scene. And then I just really wanted to do it. So in college, I put a Craigslist ad out and I met a dude on Craigslist, Nathan, our singer. We went through a ton of drummers and, I don't know, you know, I always knew that, you know, I'm capable of playing music, but there's like much more to it than that. And like my dad owns a plumbing business and growing up watching him run a business, I got to like be involved in business. So like being in music is not just playing music. It's like a lot of business and other things that you might not want to do, or maybe you do want to do them, you know. Now over time, I've found it like empowering to an extent, like to own a business, like the band and stuff, you know, when you have management and then all these other things come in, it can not feel as empowering, you know, but you have to be good at everything. And so I think that's been like navigating that like is allowed us to like, you know, go travel and be on tour for the last 10 years. And like we're going to Europe for the first time. We're going to France in March.
Fuck yeah.
Wow.
That's going to be fun. So thank
that's
you.
That's so sick.
I mean, we just played in Cancun last month or no, 2 weeks ago. Slightly Stupid's got a festival called Closer to the Sun. And that was amazing. They're one of the best festivals ever. Those guys are amazing.
So you mean to tell me that your band started from a Craigslist post?
Yeah. Literally just put out a Craigslist ad.
Incredible.
Hear that, humans? Make shit happen.
Yeah. You're in control of your own fucking destiny.
Do it.
You really are, man. And you know what it was? And it was like we started playing music and we didn't really... It was like the first year we're just jamming or whatever. And then we went to this festival, Cali Roots. It's in Monterey. And I was so inspired after that festival. It was my first year there. And I've been every year for the last 10 years. It's kind of like the E-Forest of the reggae world, you know? Mm-hmm. And we played like a lot of like the last 4 years. I think this is the first year we're not playing in like the last 4 years. I came back the first year so inspired. You know, I went to In-N-Out, big ups In-N-Out. And I had the back of my receipt and I was like, these are all the cities that we're going to play. And I went home and I found venues in all the places and made a fake manager name. His name is Ray Stone.
Ray Stone drives a hard bargain.
Ray Stone's a bad motherfucker.
Yeah, he is.
And
I love that you faked that so much. Dude.
They say fake it till you make it, man.
Yeah, amazing.
Took it to heart, huh?
Still doing that.
But
you know, and literally emailed like 10 venues in like every place, and we had never had no plays, no experience, no music out yet, and somehow I booked us a 2-week tour with this other band that we played a lot of shows with, and dude, from that point on, we have not come off the road. that was like 2012.
That's incredible, dude. Like, you guys are killing it, by the way.
Yeah.
Dude, thanks, man.
Like,
it's a labor of love for sure. It's not easy.
Man, y'all.
Imagine being in a group of 5 producers, and yeah, it's crazy, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Living with 13 dudes in a bus, and yeah.
Yeah. Y'all sound so good live. When I saw you in Seattle this year, in spring of 2022,
yeah.
Like, wow. Like, you know, I had heard y'all music, you know, like I knew it was dope, and then it was super dope. You remember my homegirl was like, yo, one of my favorite reggae bands is coming to town. Will you go with me? I'm like, yeah, who are they? Ayatollah. I'm like, oh yeah, I know those guys. It's like, oh, you've heard of them? I'm like, I mean, yes, and I also know a couple of those guys.
Like, well, do I know him? Yeah.
Yeah. And then then, you know, get there, like the opening acts were so dope. Like, you know, shouts to Ellie Mack. Like
Ellie Mack and Sideways,
they're filthy, right? And then y'all got on stage and like your actual sound, like the sound, you guys are like so tight when you play together,
Silver,
and your sound
is dude so good, dude.
Is so sick. He's what's his unreal name?
Silver, Silverio Aleman.
Yeah, dude, so yeah. Good. Like, yeah, I was blown away. It's some of the best sounding live music thanks, I've ever dude been to.
Like, my band is wow really good, dude. Like, damn, like our drummer, dude, our drummer is so freaking good, Tanner. He's like the Travis Barker of reggae. Like, he is like the hardest hitting, like never misses a freaking beat. Like, and if he does, we look at each other. I'm so in sync with that dude. Like, I've never felt like I'm telepathic with that dude. Like, it's like being on, you know, when you're like tripping out with your homies and like you're all mushrooms and you're like reading each other's mind.
Yeah.
But when we get behind that set, it's like instantly like that. It's so weird. Like,
that's so sick.
If he's doing a fill and he normally does it in regular eights and he does it in triplets, I don't even think about it. My fingers do it sometimes and I'm like, wow. Like, you know, it's like, it's so cool, like, to be in sync with somebody like that. But I just think, man, like, we practice every week for the last 10 years. Like, we rarely ever miss practice. I've always, like, wanted, as a thought, like, I've always hated when you go to see a band I really love and then they don't sound that good live. So I've always wanted to try to sound better live, you know? Yeah. Like, I've always loved when you go see the band live and you're just like, wow, that's like something I can't get out of the album. Like, I have to go see this band live to get this feeling, you know?
Amen. And then there's the opposite, where like you see somebody live and you're like, this is so amazing. And then you buy the record and you get it home and you listen to it and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
That ain't what I just heard. So yeah, I think both sides are really important, but I feel you, like having that like something special where it's like, you're seeing me live for a reason. This is not just like, you know, you couldn't get this experience from just listening on Spotify. Like, it's that plus that extra sauce that makes it worth coming to see the show and worth coming back, because you know it's going to be even better next time.
And you got to practice. I think that's just what it comes down to. I mean, you know, just got to practice.
Amen.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. What does that look like for you at this point? Like, do you actively practice like arpeggios and more technical stuff, or like do you have a structured practice, or are you like kind of whatever caught your interest at the time?
Not really anymore right now. I'm just like trying to learn songs outside of reggae music and trying to like play songs that I hear. Like, I really love like the Free Nationals and like,
yeah, they're sick.
I never been too technical of a player, like, cause I started playing like guitar and like I was a technical guitar player. Like, I loved metal and all that and shredding. But when I started playing bass, it was like, yo, there's no bass players. I'm just going to start playing bass, you know? So I started with zero experience like that. In that sense, I had musical experience. So it was like, I always just played reggae bass And so I never was like a slapper or any of that. And like, I still don't really like, that's not too interesting to me, but really what is interesting to me is like finding really good ways to groove. Like funk has great grooves otherwise that aren't slap. And like, yeah, just like the Free Nationals and like, I don't know. I'm not really like, being technical, I don't know. It's just never really on bass has never really like wowed me. Like the Jacko and like Victor Wooten, I can appreciate it, you know? But for me, it's like listening to Mr. Bill or something. Like, I love Mr. Bill. Like, he's a fucking phenomenal producer. He's one of the best and most intelligent people ever. But like, his music's kind of obscure to me, you know?
Yeah. There's like virtuosity is impressive.
It's like Yngwie Malmsteen.
But most people didn't show up looking to be impressed. They showed up looking to be moved in some way, whether that's like physically, like I can't not dance to this because it's just like the beat is simple and I know exactly how to move and everything's in the pocket.
Yes.
Moved emotionally, whatever that means for this particular song. Like, is it making me so happy I can't stop smiling? Or was I happy when I showed up and it's just brought up all the feels, like, you know, some movement.
How
like
you play a note. How you play one note is so much more important than how you play 1,000 notes. Like, if that makes sense. Like, and I got this bass pad recently. It's called, made by a company, Porter and Davies. Imagine a sub pack as big as a Dance Dance Revolution game that you stand on and plug into your bass head.
Whoa.
It's literally crack.
Probably good foot massage.
That's amazing.
It's phenomenal. It's like an earthquake. And I have a 5-string bass active, so it's like so good. And I feel like since I've gotten that, it's really like how you even like move the note, or you could like touch it like this and you could feel that in your feet, you know, and like how long you play the note, how long you're holding it out, how hard you hold it, like how much ahead of behind the beat are you is so much more important than just shredding. And like, I feel like that's a lifetime of like, not like studying for me, like just feel.
Yeah,
like feel is 100%. Everything for me. And it's always been, I feel like I've never been Yngwie Malmsteen. I've been like I've always looked up to like my favorite guitar player is Dimebag Darrell, you know. I mean, he was shreddy, but like he had the feels.
Yeah,
like
the that riff too, yeah.
Whale. Like, and he was just like, you know, it was just riff, like rhythm, good rhythm. They were groovy. Pantera, yeah.
Yeah, they're sick. Talking about funk, who's your favorite funk bands?
I love Parlor, I love Bootsy, man. I just love that guy as a character, man. Like, I think that he has everything you need to be like a successful musician. Like, you could literally go watch the video of him, Bootsy, like just talking about Bootsy how to Collins, play bass. Man. Let me pull. I'll show you this video, and he'll show you how to play funk with one note. Literally,
oh, this guy's a character. I think I might have seen this video on YouTube. He's talking about the one.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the
essence of music. Like, it's the feel, like, and I don't know. He just puts it so simply, and being like, and reggae is not much different. But I feel like reggae, you know, the one is like the main note on funk, and like in reggae, it's kind of the three, and that's like you hear the one drop. It's like tit 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 cut tit tit one and two and three and four and so. A lot of times in reggae, you lay off the one a lot. So it's like more so or less the same concept, though.
Interesting. So you'd usually like start your phrases at the snare or around the snare. Like, you're more so playing off the snare than the kick.
Yeah. Like something like my favorite kind of bass line is like if you had like a rocking kind of beat, like a like a straight rock kind of beat. And then you like rest on the one and come in maybe on the and before the three, so it's like boo 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 doo 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 boo doo 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 boo doo 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 boo doo 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 doo. You know, it's like playing.
Yeah, we just lost your audio.
You actually never hit the one.
Thank you. I think you
got funked up.
Yeah, man, your mic just dropped.
I mean, Uh-oh.
Yeah, that was so strange. It was like in the middle of audio. Talking to
so he's like stomping his feet. I feel like he like kicked the preamp cord out or something.
Oh, my headphone jack came unplugged.
Hey.
Oh, yeah, I got too excited.
You're back. Good job with the technical fix on the fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but man. Yeah.
Woo. So Bootsy, I think, is in Parliament, and but like now maybe funk, funk nowadays lettuce is like,
and lettuce like the
band Lettuce, bro. I just saw them at E-Forest, and I could accurately say that that was the most love I've ever felt at a show. Dude. Like,
you're those not talking about the green vegetable.
Fucking jam, dude. Yo,
is it a band?
Yeah,
they are unreal.
Funk band, super dope. I was at Summer Meltdown.
They play at all the EDM festivals too, because they get down, man.
Yeah, I was at Summer Meltdown, and I was like, it was like the last night, and I was like kind of exhausted, so I hadn't heard of them, so I like went back to my campsite. But somehow, even though my campsite was like 500 yards away or more from the venue, like I could hear their set perfectly. Like, it sounded so good. I could hear every word the vocalist was saying, and I was, like, just vibing out of my campsite, like, damn, okay, next time I'm going to be over there for those guys. Like, I'm going to be right in the middle of that, because those guys rock.
You ever heard of the reggae band Steel Pulse?
From the UK? So.
Legendary. Definitely check out Steel Pulse. Like, people might say, like, outside of Bob Marley and Burning Spear, Steel Pulse, so like the three quintessential. I mean, but so yeah, there's we got
Burning Spear once in college.
Burning Spear, dope. Yeah, he's freaking so heavy. But we got to tour with Steel Pulse a few years ago, and their sound man actually does sound for Lettuce now, and he is insane. He makes them sound so good. Like he like dubs out Lettuce like a funk band, like how you'd hear a reggae band, like with all the live dubs and stuff. Sick. And I've never heard a funk band because they're already spacey and they have weird sound. But dude, everybody in that band is such an amazing player, like virtuoso player. Like their bass player is this 5'2" guy named Bass Jesus, oddly enough. And and he's good. Like he's played for like Britney Spears, Eminem, like and his brother like is a drummer. He's produces for like all the dudes, 50 Cent, Ludacris, like, and they're, I don't know, they've been nominated for Grammy a few times. So good, so awesome. Good,
amazing,
definitely my new favorite funk band, like hands down.
Shouts out to Lettuce. Yeah, I just want
to have to check them out.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to the chat over here. Secret guest been super active in the chat for us today. Was you know, bigging up your agreeing with you on Elevate and Shifter, talking about those plugins, but also said like his buddy shoots photos for Cali Roots, and then once he posted that, went and decided to like scroll his buddy's Facebook page and found like a bunch of shots of you on the dude's Facebook page. Yeah, really.
I'm so sad that I haven't been in the dojo chat. It didn't occur to me that, wait, I thought this wasn't, was this live?
Oh yeah, we're live, baby.
We're live.
Oh, I thought I thought it was like broadcasted the next.
I mean, that would make sense. But we are live.
I thought Luke said that. Well, how do I get into this dojo chat?
It'll. I mean, it's we're broadcasting it live. It's on the. It's in the Producer Dojo Discord.
The Discord.
You,
okay.
Yeah, if you go through the dojo website, click on Dojo TV, then there's like a live link. Wonderful. To watch it and a click to get into the Discord. But yeah, I could.
I feel so silly now, but I mean, it doesn't matter.
It's all good, man. Hi, you're here. Hi, you're doing your job. You're doing your job. You're here and talking.
It's got more fun.
Yeah, and Secret Guest also said he loves Lettuce, and it's like a revival of Tea Leaf Green, who I actually don't know who that is. But
Tea Leaf Green, I don't know who that is.
I mean, something to look into if you're into Lettuce.
Tea Leaf Green. I'm going to write this down. Hey, anybody you guys have been vibing on lately? Leaves. Like outside any music at all.
I don't know if you heard of the artist Breakins.
Breakins, no.
I really like his record. He combines a lot of different genres together, but at its core, I guess you could say it's Midwest emo with like very heavy electronic influence. And it goes from like, yeah, it's sick. If you like really melodic stuff with like glitchy drums, dubstep drums, trap drums, and it's very progressive.
Sick.
Yeah, like his songs evolve throughout. It's sick. Breakens.
What's it called?
Break. B-R-A-K-E-N-C-E. And his first record, Punk 2, was like pretty game-changing a couple years back.
Punk 2.
Super fuck with them. And he just dropped a new record I think, like 2-3 weeks ago.
Sick.
What about really you, Edmund?
God, that's a really good question. I've been listening to, I've kind of been like going backwards, in my listening taste to like, kind of like Of Mice and Men, like Restoring Force. And even like, I've been listening I listened to My Chemical Romance, Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge the other day.
What's really going on? Nostalgia trip.
Yeah, I've been, at least the last like month, I've just been diving into this nostalgia stuff. God, that's, I will need to come up with a more forward thinking answer for you as I scroll my Spotify for what I've actually been listening to.
Yeah, right.
Luke, how about you?
Man, I've been getting into some like high vibe records stuff lately. I want to submit some stuff to them, and so I've been like listening to their stuff a lot, like Equanimous.
Daniel with the Balance releases on there.
Man, is that accurate? That
high vibe,
fucking
Equanimous.
Lit, yeah, Equanimous is super dope. He's like,
we're live, and I'm just spouting shit out.
Yeah, I don't know if he is. That's extra sick. But yeah, and then like Skyzia. Is super dope. It's like melodic instrumental, like no vocal, like bass music, like a little bit towards like a tipper kind of groove. I just found out about another dude on that label that I've been listening to a lot lately called Tahum. It's like some of it's like four on the floor, some of it's like backbeat, but it's like, it's all like melodic-y, kind of that, like you were talking about earlier, a lot of it's like this mix of like organic live instrumentation, but with an electronic beat. So it's like not so like in your face, kind of smash the bass down your throat, tear out dubstep kind of vibes that I've been moving away from in my listening habits and in my production, and like going more melodic, more vibey, but still with really cool electronic sound design weaved into it. That's what I've been, but you know me, I'm like mad eclectic, you know, I'll still listen to some like house tunes and some hip hop tunes and some R&B tunes, and yeah, I'm all over the place. I've been listening to some like, I put out that Big Kali or the Kali Ma track, and I did a DJ set for it called Big Kali Energy that I put on Mixcloud, and like I put a bunch of really like kind of like temple step, like really like dark melodic bass in it, and it's like that shit really got me going, and the crowd when I did that live really responded to it. It was fucking nuts. There was a point where I invoke that Big Kali energy, and like she's kind of the destroyer of things that no longer serve you. So like in the middle of my set, my DJ decks kept breaking and freezing. I'm like, all right, time for new DJ decks. I got them ordered, and I'm borrowing some others from my homie right here for the interim. But like, people were so into it that when the fucking music stopped, everybody just started like stomping and clapping and chanting and yelling. Sick. The whole time, like made a beat for me while I was like restarting record box and unplugging my decks. And like, and then I was like, all right, well, they're on beat. Well, 3, 2, 1, start the song. All right, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. Incredible.
Yeah,
I came up with a more underground person for us to listen to. His name is Ymir, Y-M-I-R. He makes like really like cinematic, but also like, you know, aggressive bass music. But like he has a fucking incredible voice.
And a lot of his production is like really, really unique. And he's also someone that like blends rock and electronic together really like organically. And yeah, it's just really like refreshing to hear something like as like just different, but also like close to what you know. Like a lot of his drops have like sick, like glitchy sound design, but also like his songwriting chops are just so, so good. And so yeah, I've been diving into a lot of that lately. I would check him out for sure.
Sick Ymir, Ymir.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've talked a lot about like, you know, live music. We started with some more technical production questions, but let's bring it full circle back to like your production project, Porch, and like what is the direction you're trying to go with that, and like what's exciting you with that project and in that space right now?
Something really exciting. I don't know, something exciting to me. This year I was like, okay, the world's opening back up. I really want to do a bunch of collabs because haven't seen anybody. And that's something I was really missing is like, you know, I feel like just, you know, not always FaceTime, but just like, I feel like people were just like, you know, off in their own space and everybody's more down now. So collabs. And I wanted my next, I don't know if it's going to be an EP or LP or album, but I got like 10 really good collabs already with people. And I don't know how it's all going to come out, but I'd love to like just release an album of like, if not all, but if not mostly, if not all collabs.
And hey, cause life is a collab, know. Yo, not a competition.
Exactly.
My fucking jam, bro. I love that song.
Is just like, why not? Like, you know, I feel like I learn way more when I collab with people. I'm always getting outside of my own headspace and I make better music after I collab with people. It pushes me to finish things and not just like get in my own way. Like something really exciting, I guess I could share it now. It's close enough to the time it's coming out. But there's a, do you guys know Amp Live? You know Zy and I or Amp Live?
Yeah, dude, Zy and I like straight up was like one of my biggest like hip hop listens, like,
dude, they're
like legends. All throughout high school.
Yeah.
Like literally, yeah. Like I still listen to them all the time today.
R.I.P. Zumbi, he passed away.
Yeah, dude.
Man, the homies, the Flow Mads that I just put a track out with. Yeah, Sean put one out with him.
Yeah.
Posthumously. They had a record. Yeah, they had a record all ready to go when he passed.
Wild.
Yeah. But kind of crazy, man.
The other guy, the surviving member, Amp, he's super dope. And I was like spinning a Renegade set at Cali Roots last year. And he came out to me and he's just like, dude, I love what you're spinning. Like we should collab. And I was like, heck yeah. So we got I think we're going to have a collab coming out, I think in February. Hey. And like he's more of a hip hop dude, and he does mess with like Wubs and stuff. He loves Wubby music, and he's had some stuff come out like with Sub Docta and some other people, you know. And I don't know, we made a pretty cool song, so that's going to be the first release of 2020. So hopefully, I mean, it's supposed to come out in February. So I can't say which label because obviously, but. It's going to be a pretty cool label if it all works out correctly. So
hey.
Yeah, you could always tell even in like his, like, you know, the Zy and I project, like, you know, it's definitely hip hop forward, but I think a lot of the reason I was drawn to their music is because like a lot of his production is really forward thinking. Yeah. Like there is some really creative electronic like elements and like the way that he actually would like make, like if you took the vocals off, you'd be like, oh, this is like, like not necessarily like anything you would expect from a hip hop artist, but like it just fits so good. And like a lot of the sound design is really creative, and I've always loved it for that reason.
His melodies are really good too. Yeah. Like, and that's one of my weakest points, you know. It's like, so I feel like making music with him, it's like, you know, he's like the peanut butter to the jelly, you know. It's like I can like get things sounding. It was so awesome, dude. Like, actually, because his mixing engineer, he's like, I got to submit this song, and my engineer's out of town. Like, how is your engineer available? And I was like, I told him the price that Clint would charge, and he's just like, oh, that's too much. He's like, you want to try to do it? And I was like, sure. So I did it. I took like 8 hours doing the mix down and master and sent it to him. And he's just like replied. He's like, yo, would you do my whole EP?
Hey.
And I was just like, no, damn. I don't have that much time, but that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's high marks. That's
so big up Seth and Clint.
Amen.
And
yeah.
And all you guys too. I mean, I learned from all of you guys. So literally.
Amen. Yeah, yeah. Speaking of which, man, I would love to like give you a chance to just like talk about like mentorship and influences in that way. Like
that's everything. That's everything, man. Like is just surrounding yourself with people who are doing what you want to do, how you're doing it. And Dylan's always like said, like, make yourself useful. Like go around these people and make yourself useful. Like, I don't know how, but just you have something to offer the world. That's like something we have to figure out. And it's also our gift. Like, so back to the world, you know, like we have these talents and like it's our duty and obligation to, you know, share them with the world. So, and, but find the people that are doing like, you know, they say you're like the five people you hang around with the most. So if you want to do that, hang around I mean, that's why I was at the dojo as much as I could be. And just like, you know, not only were the people awesome, but they were doing what I was doing. And it was an amazing network of people. Like it was everything I prayed for, you know?
Amen.
And, mentorship is like, you get like, you get all of the things you want and all of the things you don't want. Like if the mentor is honest, they're going to not leave anything out and they'll share their sauce. And that's one thing I love about Seth too, is he's like, dude. And like some of my favorite rappers have said it well too, is just like, I'm not cared about impersonators or letting you know what I know, because it's not what I know, it's how I do it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And any great mentor, I think, would have that attitude. So find one with that attitude.
Yeah.
What's something you picked up from like being around at the dojo so often? Like, I'm sure there were definitely some like mind blowing moments and just like game changing kind of stuff. When I say that, like, what is like a thing or two that comes up when you were chilling there that like was really a game changer for you?
Dude, so many things. Man, I just like, every time I make music, I just hear Dylan's voice echoing in my head. Like, you know, is like just making music. I think just to make music, not getting in your own way. Like, I know that like, there's not specific things, but like, I think all the philosophical things, like we all know how to make music and like, we're all going to get to the point where we know how to like push these buttons, you know? And I think as time goes on, the things that I remember most and things that are more important to me are like, you know, don't get in your own way. Like, timer beats, like journaling, positive self-talk, like being kind to yourself, like, knowing that you're going to have days that aren't the best days and just sticking with the process, you know, like, I know that's not like mind blowing stuff, but that's the most important stuff to me, is like the things that like provide longevity, because we're trying to do this forever, right? Like,
forever and ever.
And I think like over time, like, you know, we need to find ways to get out of our own head, like, and be creative again. It's not like we aren't creative, but like, we just get so stuck sometimes, you know? So it's like, but it's all comes back to those like dojo principles, is like discipline, like not taking forever to do things.
Yeah. The timer.
And just doing stuff. Like it was like a journal entry, you know? Like that's why the journal, I never really got it until I was like, wow, I feel like I'm just journaling at this point. Like today might be 120 BPM and the next day might be 170 and the next day might be 150. And, you know, I think just not sticking to a genre specific thing and just making the music. I heard Rick Rubin say it the other day so perfectly. He's just like, you be your own audience and make shit that you like. Like, woo. Don't listen to anybody else. Somebody's like, what's the best piece of advice you ever got? And he's like, don't listen to what anybody else says. He's like, do what the hell you want. he's just like, if you have to, and another thing he's at the end of all that, he's like, and if you have to work and have a day job to make all that happen, great. Because at the end of the day, you're doing this for you. So yeah. Like,
amen.
As long as you can make it happen, make those means happen, but whatever, just make what you want to hear in your, like what you would love to hear.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's 1,000,000% how you arrive at the best result every time. Because it's unfiltered.
And your music shows that, dude. Your music, I hear that in your music so much. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy.
It took a long time to get to the point where I'm finally...
Maybe, like, at least from my perspective.
No, it is. It is like that. Like, it took a long time to get to the point where it's like a conscious choice to just like not think about doing thing X or thing Y. It's just like leaning into having the chops and the hours under your belt to be able to lean into being like, no, I want to, this is what I'm going to do. Like, you can't hear the hi-hats in my music hardly at all. Like, okay,
there's noise to fill that space.
Yeah. That's a choice I've made. Like, stuff like that. Like, it's easier said than done to like just make exactly what you want, because there's so many other things, and then you're like, are people gonna get it? Like, is this palatable? Like, do people,
is this label gonna like this?
Yeah, like, do people like this? Like, it's really hard to lean into that, but once you do, like, you just the results are better, and it's more fun too. Like, you get so that much. You get that momentum and that intrinsic motivation because you're fulfilling such a deeper like it goes back to the reason you started making music. Like, the whole reason, like, we've got to this point where we put in all of these hours is because when we started making music, you're just like, fuck, this is so fun. And you're like, maybe like everyone does, you're like, oh man, you know, this is going to be crazy. Like, eventually one day this is going to be so good. But like, that was not the reason you were doing it. You're doing it because like the fact that you were making anything at all was so fucking cool.
Yeah.
And that alone pushed you to make more and more and more, because it just like sucked you into it. And that's, it's as you get into that intermediate stage and then, you know, progressing to like where you want to be, like, that is the hardest thing to keep tabs on, because it becomes more like work sometimes, where you're like, okay, no, I got to do this and this, and you got all these steps and checks, and you got lists of shit you got to do for the mix and all this stuff to distract you from the fact that the reason you're doing this is because it sucks you in and it's fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you, like you said, you could have a mixed list of things, but at the essence of it, it was that kick, snare, and that bass top and vocal that just made you say yes.
Yeah.
You know, and then exactly. Like, you have a million other things that might, yeah. That's why I feel like I part of me wanted to wait so long and like just make this great album. But then, like, if you look at my band, like, we released like our first EP like a year and a half after being a band, and it, like, I cringe listening to it sometimes. But dude, if you listen on Spotify, look on Spotify, that's like 3 out of 5 of the songs are like top played songs are like from that EP. And like, yeah. People ask for those more than anything. And I don't get it. Like, I really don't get why. Like, respect to everybody, I love you, but like, I think our new stuff's so much better. But like, I think there's something of that essence of what you were talking about, and just like, fuck yeah, I'm having fun. Like, I'm just like doing this, and like, people can feel that in your music. Yeah. Like, that is there.
100%. Yeah, that authenticity is so important, especially like nowadays where there's so much music, so many different people that are doing, you know, thing X or thing Y. Like, more than anything, your intention and your authenticity shows through. Like, if you love it, if you truly love it, like, that brings people in. If you're making something that you think people will love, you are like presenting it from a place of like vulnerability. You're like, you're gonna like this, right? And like, that shit doesn't translate. Like, if you're just like, I fucking love this, this is sick, and then like, you know, do what you will with it, and people are like, you just, if it's good, people just are drawn to it. And the people that like it are the people that are, you know, naturally going to surround you in that space. And it just, it's a way more natural thing to like, to do it like that, rather than yeah, trying to make stuff that you think people will like. It just, yeah.
Yeah, that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Listen to what you like, not what you think people will like.
I like that. And thinking is often not the right, like you said, it's about feel, right? It's not about the thoughts that come up, you know, and thinking into what music I should make is not only thinking, it is thinking about what other hypothetical people are hypothetically thinking. That's a rabbit hole that could get us so lost.
Double blind study. The only time I ever mess up playing bass is when I think.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally. If I cannot think, I just do it. It's so crazy. It's the funniest thing.
Yeah. So amen. Weird. Same thing with like freestyle rapping. Like, you're like, wow, how do you do that? I can't like think that fast. I'm like, oh, if you think, you're sunk. If you try and think about what you're about to say or what you just said, you're fucked. You just got to keep talking.
I still haven't mastered that one. You have to give me some lessons on that.
Yeah, man. Well, next time we hang out, we'll just just start freestyling, man. It's like, I mean, how long you talked on this podcast without thinking about it?
I guess
and so, then you just like also like do that to a beat, and then like if you can rhyme sometimes.
Just talk about like Ableton. It'll be really easy. I got Rex. I got Rex and Stex. Three OTTs, and that ain't maxed. Or something.
See, there we go. There right, you're you
a yeah. natural.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, man. We had a ask in the chat for like what's your preferred spot for people to listen to your music.
My favorite spot for people to listen to music. I guess like I'm a fan. Well, of porch music, I guess, of Bandcamp, because I'm a fan of like lately, especially this year since I've been DJing more. And I really think there's like some magic again in like actually buying somebody's song and downloading it. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And also the artist gets more, but if you're going to stream something, I think Tidal gives majority of like more to the artists, I guess. But my favorite's just been Bandcamp and Beatport. Like I've just been any song that I DJ anymore, I buy it.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Plus I want the wave, but that's beside the point, you know. So
I've been all about AIFF because it's got that wave quality, but with the tags. Yeah.
And with the new 3000s, have you seen the new CDJ 3000s have like the little artwork thing in the middle? So if you put artwork in the middle of it, it'll pop up.
Oh, that's crazy. No, I haven't played on those.
Yeah, it's crazy. I played on it for the first time last month. And this guy before me had like all of his music, his logo on it. So it was just like his logo in the middle of the turntable. I was like, damn, that's sick.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. I don't know if it's worth me dropping, you know, $3,000 per side, you know, per deck or whatever that they got going on there.
I'm pretty sure it's more than that.
I think it's $3,000 per side and then like $3,000 for the mixer. So I think
you're going to be in for about 10 racks on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't need to go five figures. Like I said, my $250 decks broke. I sprung for the $300 decks this time.
I need to upgrade. I'm gonna spoil a surprise, I guess. I'll spoil it for Dojo. But so I was like talking about this for a while and I finally sent it, but I bought a Hennessy rig.
Oh.
So Dojo is gonna have to have a show on the West Coast sometime this summer. We're gonna have to sort it out. We're gonna get to spin on that. So I'm gonna buy 3000s, I guess, at some point. And just put it on a Sweetwater card or something, but
Hardcore, bro.
I've always wanted to do that and then like have a dojo show with it. That's like a good way to break it in.
Fuck you know? Yeah, yeah, dude. That's so sick.
So I don't know. We could do it. Like, I feel like somewhere like in NorCal would probably be close to everybody enough, right? That's like, I live in SoCal.
I'd take a drive or a flight.
Dude, NorCal is a pretty easy drive for me. I'm in the middle of Oregon now. So I'm like 7-8 hours from Tahoe ish.
I mean, if it were going to be a thing, and I'm sure we could work it out too, like Dylan, maybe we could talk about making an event and stuff, and like he could do workshop or have it like how they did something in Hawaii, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, secret guest Jake says he's got a place. DM him.
Yeah, it's not two spots in NorCal. That would be the
easy as that.
I don't know if we want to go in outside though. That's like what I'm. Mm. I don't know if we want to go outside or inside. We still got to figure it out.
I mean, depending on the month.
Yeah. True.
And what you're trying to do. You know, if you're just trying to have like a renegade
in the Santa Cruz Mountains.
Yeah, that's true. If you're trying to have a renegade fest, you know. That shit rocks. Mm. But
I mean, I'm a forest guy myself. If we could do a show in the forest.
Yeah, I love forest festivals. Me too.
Yeah, but what if we could do both though? What if we could do one in the forest and then in one day and then like one night we got, have you ever been to the Motive in Santa Cruz?
Nah.
It's like a small spot on the strip, but like I always love when you just have a beast ass system in a small room and it's just like the bass is just pumping.
Just shaking things.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So we'll figure it out, but I'm really excited. So that's going to be probably a big focus in the next year. I got a box truck that I've been working on and just getting just right and stuff, because the system's going to take 2 months to build, 3 months to build, so probably won't be done until March.
Hardcore, bro.
But dude, yeah,
I'm really excited to hear that sound wave emitted in person.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of wiggly air.
We're gonna have fun. Where do you live, Tesco?
I'm Canada side, right by Detroit. I'm like 10 minutes away from Detroit.
I got arrested there one time.
In Detroit?
Or detained. Like, detained. No, at like, yeah, at the border. Yeah.
Man, I got fucked with that border crossing too, man. They're haters over there.
The worst part was, so we could say a short story time. This is a really funny story. We're on tour and we're going over the border and we had a bunch of weed and we're going to drop it off at our friend's house in Detroit, pick up and drop our merch off because we weren't going to take it because we didn't want to pay all the fees and stuff. 20 minutes before we get to the border, get pulled over. Our singer was driving. He's the only guy that doesn't smoke weed, of course. Say it smelled like weed, and they pulled us over on the side of the road. It was like literally like minus 20 degrees. It's like the Detroit winter. And these guys like had a field day. They had us outside for like 5 hours. And then they found like 4 ounces of weed. And they come out with like all this weed, come out with these mushrooms I had, and they're just like, yeah, so we found all your stuff. Like, you know, the weed's not a big deal, but we need to know whose these are. Hold up my bag of mushrooms, fat bag. It's like, those are mine. Instantly, I had to. And I was like, he looked at me. He's like, you know what? I'm going to let you go because you're honest. I was like, oh shit. Okay. Holy shit. So anyways, I go inside and I had 20 strips of acid on the table. He did not could, they were all like, they were just like cardboard paper colors. So maybe I assumed he thought they were with like rolling like tips or something maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. So anyways, that we got off easy. Then we go into Canada. We played in Canada, come back some, and then like, we're already in trouble from our tour manager. So mad at us. And then, so somebody gave us an ounce of weed in Canada. And then, so we go back through the border and they're like, there's no way they're going to search us again. So they searched us for sure. They pulled us aside. They pulled the dogs on us. And then we all got put in jail for the night. And they interrogated us while they searched our vehicle all night with a dog. And I put the weed in the toilet, down the toilet. They never found it. And I pled the fifth. If you're listening, Canada, I'm sorry. But we got put in jail, dude. And we got put in jail with like literally no, I don't even want to say what kind of other people in there, but it was definitely like, I feel like it was racially motivated. I'm going to say it's kind of weird.
Yeah. You smoked the weed after though?
Oh, we smoked the weed. Yeah. Toilet because weed. It was all vacuum. Yeah. It was vacuum sealed. So
I mean, it was probably amazing.
It was so much better after that.
Yeah.
Eight paper like, joint, dude. Fucking had to go to wizard jail staff.
Dude, it was crazy. We were like put in an interrogation.
Realize you accidentally like, used strips of acid for the tip.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to bring shit over the border. That's it's pretty big.
Don't, if you're ever doing, trying to do that, like don't bring weed into Canada. Don't do it. Anybody listening, it's not a good idea.
You know they grow it there, right?
You know that there's enough weed there.
Yeah, there's plenty.
But you know, some guy just gave us some, and we're like going back through, and we're like, "Well, he just gave us some weed." Like,
I mean, technically, you won in that situation.
You do.
So the moral of the story is, if you're gonna smuggle it, put it in the toilet in a vacuum seal bag.
Just don't do it. You don't want to fuck with it. Just get it at the place you're going, man.
I mean, I took weed to Mexico last week on the plane. It was like pretty chill. just don't drive over the border with it, I guess. But I'm not, this is not legal advice though.
Yeah, don't. Human Music Podcast in Portugal not responsible for any international incidents.
Yes, the disclaimer, disclaimer. Radio DJ to do the disclaimer.
Thank God you gave that disclaimer.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. That was very official.
I've definitely heard multiple stories of people accidentally flying weed across international borders, or like borrow a duffel bag from a homie and then like show up in France and be like, what the fuck? Oh, hey, 2 grams of weed. What's up? Now I don't have to go find a dealer in France and try to learn French to get drugs.
They have really good drugs in France, I heard, though. I heard most drugs actually are made, like most party drugs are made in Belgium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun fact.
The Netherlands, yeah.
Very fun
fact. I don't ask how I know that, but I do.
I know Spain, when I lived there, it was really hard to find actual weed. Like there was a bunch of mediocre hash from Morocco.
Weed's harder to find, I think, than like cocaine in Europe. It's so weird. Like you could find good cocaine probably easier than weed in England for sure. Yeah.
Probably because it goes so well with drinking.
I don't know why, but yeah.
Probably.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, outside of Amsterdam.
Well, that's what I mean. It's just like it all comes from there. And then the farther you get from Netherlands, the more hash it is. Less weed it is.
Yeah, it's kind of, instead it's coming up from Morocco. When I was in Morocco, the hashish there was like incredible. Like I was like, oh my God, like I didn't know it could be this good.
Well, I think that's what you probably only smoke. They probably like really like it. It's just like, we got to get some good ass hash.
Yeah, no, I like literally bought it like on this, like I was on a bus through the mountains and like stopped at this little like rest stop. And there's just like some dude like, hey guys, come in the gift shop if you want to buy hashish. I mean,
it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
But I mean, now you can buy anything in San Fran. You know, you could buy anything on the street. This is like, I was talking to Jack about this, and they bought tabs on the street from a guy with an apple. Not even allegedly, it's legal there, dude. It was literally the guy had an apple stand, and it was just like mushrooms and acid, and he just went up and bought it. It's like legal in like all drugs are decriminalized in like a few blocks of San Francisco now.
Hey, I think there was a spot, there was a spot like that lit. In Denmark. Yeah. Copenhagen.
It's called Christiania.
Yeah. It's dude. I literally,
it's wild. It's
dude, I've been like there. There's a fucking sick ass skate park in this barn, and like you could literally buy spliffs. From like multiple little retailers on the street. Yeah, it's sick.
Goodbye spliffs.
Yeah, pre-rolled spliffs, bro.
That's the fucking definition of knowing your market and giving a what they fucking
Yep.
Yes.
Well, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, man, we started about mod gear and ended on modifying your brain.
Yeah, modding your brain.
I feel like we come full circle, man.
Dude,
that was
a very versatile podcast. Yeah. I'm just going to put it out there, talk our shit. There's no EDM podcast out there that's giving you quality life advice that runs this deep.
Yeah.
True.
I don't think so. I've listened to some podcasts and I would say that this is
we got some dope fucking pedal recommendations. We talked about reggae.
So much good music recommendations from everybody.
Yeah, yes. Talked about Canadian Jail. I mean, shit, dude. Tour life. Covered a lot of ground in this one.
Yeah.
Dude, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Dude, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, remind the humans what your handles are so they can go follow you.
Give them the ats.
The ats are, you could find it, I guess, at porchbase.com. Makes it easy. It's one big funnel, I guess.
Real nice.
There you go.
Right? Isn't that the best way? I still do a website. I mean, but.
Yo, man, I mean, people have a link tree, but like your website is your own actual link tree.
Yeah.
Well, right? I heard that. I mean, that's like the best way. Like, dude, if Linktree went down or something, I mean, it's just another way to be in control of your yeah, yourself.
Yeah. Yo, why not? And then you can put like your Facebook pixel on it, and like everybody that comes through, it'll like collect exactly. their data. You know, if, like, and then you want to like, you know, tell people like, oh yeah, anybody that's been to my website who lives in this area, let them know I'm coming in on tour.
Exactly.
Send them.
If anybody needs to make a website or wants to make a website, it's not very hard. You could just hit me up. Hit any of us up. You could probably steer you in the right direction. Book a session with one of these guys. I'm sure they could walk you through it. Right.
Yeah, man. I know how to make a Squarespace. That's for sure.
I mean, yeah. That's the best one I have. Yeah. It's good to have it.
I hate to ask the obvious questions, but some just need to be asked. Did you come up with your name while you were sitting on a porch, or how did this come to be?
Man, I've gotten...
Oh, it's in I've your got, last... Never mind.
It was always my nickname, and even more so nowadays because there's two Nicks in our band, and there's a Nate too, so I've just become Porch. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. As soon as I said that, I saw it in your last name. I was like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Hey, it works. I mean, I didn't have to think too hard, and it's just
the best names you don't got a ring to it. Hard. Yeah.
You know, and also it's like, and on that note, I like think that EDM space, like, you know, is transforming. It's a process of transforming, and different people are coming in and out of it. And something I've always like really wanted, and I want like, the band shows and like my shows to be, and what we can all take into this is like making this a safe space for everybody to feel themselves, because like we got to remember that, you know, when I first started listening to this music and going to these festivals, I always heard the word transformational festival thrown around. I don't ever hear that anymore. All I hear about is people getting in fights and this and that. Like whatever. The shows I go to, not so much maybe, but like, dude, the only fight I've ever been into is at a Rhythm show. You know, I don't really go watch Rhythm, but like, I've always like the porch is a safe space that you go seek shelter under. And I just like wanted to really like personify that in music with my music and like shows and everything. So, yeah, and I think everybody wants that, you know, and I think we really need to like, you know, and with all the people overdosing and stuff, so many overdoses too. And it's like, we need to make it a place where people can feel comfortable enough to like even ask for help. Like, you know, that's really what we need right now is like everybody needs help. And like, maybe your friend is not your therapist, but you know, we can't be afraid to ask for help.
You need a porch to kick it, have some shelter, hang out under it.
Yeah. Know your porch.
You need that.
Mm-hmm.
You can always come talk to me. Any of you guys, anybody.
Amen, man.
And on that, we'll make some music in the next few months. And
looking forward to that, man.
Definitely. Dude, what if we did a cut? What if we did like a Rave Gravy style collab? By the way, that freaking track you guys did is epic. That is a monster track. Literally, I still spin that. There's like two drum and bass tracks I'll even spin. Period. One being Rave Gravy and one being Urban Dawn come together.
Damn.
Just know that.
We are in good company on that one.
I didn't know anyone even listened to
That melody is unbelievable. Yeah. Literally stands up to Skrillex or any of that. You could tell me it was a Skrillex melody and I would believe it.
Yeah, that,
I swear.
Yeah,
I'm gonna shout out Rave Gravy. Rave Gravy, thank you, Reality.
Yep. Yeah, I dig that song a lot.
Unreal.
Man, we got 8 monthly listeners. Nice.
Unreal.
Let's go.
That's probably mostly you. Yeah, I'll drop that in the chat for anybody still over there. And yeah, man. Dude, thanks so much for being here with us.
Yeah, shit, dude. This has been fun.
Yeah, man. We should definitely do a track. We should, this would be fun.
Hey, man, I got to get back down to SoCal too and hang out with you, man.
Yeah, we should definitely make another sample pack too. I really had fun doing that. I definitely want to do that. And if anybody's down and wants to make one, I'm happy to help collaborate. Me and Luke did that one and I think it's just more better. More sounds is better, dude. And then you can like just start building that, just like how we have our discography.
Amen.
Anybody out there? I've really been wanting to do that, especially got this gear. So,
hell yeah, bro. And yo, man, I just actually recently, like this summer, unearthed the track that I made at your spot when I was there in 2019 that I like made. And like, I think I showed it to a couple of people and like got some feedback about how it should be changed and then like forgot to go do the feedback.
Send it to me.
I will, man. I'll send it to you right now, man. That I really dig that one, man. It's called Full Moon because it's a full moon that night.
Oh, I think I remember that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man, that one's definitely, I've been playing it out lately. It definitely, it's definitely a vibe.
Send it. I'd love to hear it again.
Yeah, man, and that's just a reminder to everybody out there, man. If the song is only old to you, and it's not even old, you know, it's just like, unless it's out, and even if it's out, most people in the world ain't heard it yet, so keep telling people about it.
Exactly, and go through your old projects and delete maybe some bad ones, but
yeah,
a lot of them are probably good, or something's good with them.
Yeah, a lot of them, it's just like, I didn't know how to finish it at the time. And
then
you find it again, you're like, oh. Yeah,
see, you're giving me more ideas, but on Tesco's thing, the most underrated thing in Ableton, this is literally the most underrated thing in Ableton, everybody. You can go into an old project on your sidebar, and you can literally go through every version of the project in any version and drag that track into your current project. So if you had melody from a track that you thought was garbage, but you love the melody, you just drag it right into your new project. So underrated.
Amazing. Absolutely goated feature.
Goated.
I love now in the new one, they added that you could just extract the effects chains and not the whole channel. I'm fucking amazing, dude.
And one last bit of advice from secret guest over there. Replace your wave plugins before it's too late.
That's the most goated advice.
That is the most goated advice. Where's the little goat emoji here?
Oh, man. Yeah, secret guest. Yo, for real, yo, talking about putting together like a dojo fest in NorCal. So
definitely we'll talk about that. I'm going to text Dylan in the new year. And
we got to holler about that for sure.
Yeah
man. Well, all right, y'all. This is how we sign off. We tell them peace.
Deuces, peace.
And peace among worlds.
Thank you guys again. Thank you guys again for having me. And lots of love, man, to the dojo.
And yeah, buddy.
Collabs 22. Let's do it. Everybody, send your whips.
Let's get it. All right, y'all. Yes.
Peace.
Have a good new year.
Woo!
Happy New Year.
I like it.
Thanks so much for being here with us, humans. Really appreciate you. Make sure to share this podcast. Follow it on, you know, whatever you're listening to it on. Make sure you let the people know if you got anybody that's into creativity or music production or just likes a good podcast and listening to artist interviews. Just let the people know. Please help us spread the word. Make sure to check out Porch Online at porchbass.com and bump his track, The Song of the Week, Not a Competition. It's my jam. Life is a collab, yo, not a competition. You heard me bust out that lyric in the episode. So yeah, go run that one up along with the rest of his Metanoia EP. And support our sponsors. Me and Porch put out a percussion of Foley Pack. That's over 2,000 percussion loops and one-shots from Luke Rain and Porch, along with 50 rack instruments for both Reason and Ableton. Dojo TV, where you can get free producer live stream classes from the Dojo Senseis and check us out live on our live streams. Get in the chat with us. Tesco's Patreon, where you can get access to his Discord, track feedback, private lessons, and more. The weekly download, where Ill Gates teaches his private weekly group lessons. And you have over 300 episodes in the archive for just $20 a month. Amazing deal. And guest practices, where you can learn from Seth Drake at the Approach Institute. He's the best engineer we know, and your first class is free. Check us out at thehumanmusicpodcast.com if you need anything else. Until next time, humans, peace. Peace among worlds.